Okay, we're holding in Shar Shlosha Asar, the Shara Ratzon, so we continue to learn more about Ratzon this evening, and we are up to Ma'od Ma'od, at least in my Nusach over here of the Orcha Tzadikim, Ma'od Ma'od. So we've been discussing the Midah of Ratzon, the Midah of sort of not taking things, taking things in stride and not getting too agitated about things and being receptive to ideas and to other people's ratzon, to other people's desires, and the great value in that when people like you, when a person has chein, when you get along well with other people, that can have wonderful long-term implications in your life. And the Orcha Tzadikim continues, Ma'od ma'od mida na'ihi la'adam, she'e melei ratzon u'mevatal daito mebnei das chaveiro. That it is a really, really wonderful mida, a very beautiful mida for a person to have, to be mevatal his own das to other people, meaning if other people have a different opinion, not to always insist that he's right and to not quit until his opinion is accepted, but to be willing to accept the opinions of other people. Generally, you'll find that that's one of the characteristics that distinguishes great people. That great people are good listeners. They tend to, Ezu Chacham Alomid Mikaladam, that I've been involved over the last 4 months in more meetings than than I ever imagined I would be and that I would ever care to be. But one of the things that you get to see a little bit when you're a rabbi during a time of crisis is that, thank God I've been zocha to be in a lot of meetings with a lot of really special people and special leaders of Klal Yisrael, and very, very often you find that the biggest people in the room, or in the Zoom usually, that the biggest people there don't speak till the very end. They don't speak until everyone else's opinion has already been expressed. They had time to absorb it, to take it in, to hear what everyone else has to say. And, siyag l'chach mashtika, not that they don't have an opinion, not that they don't share an opinion, they do. But most often, it is the younger people, the less experienced people, or the less wise people, the less great Talmidei Chachamim, that are the first ones to speak up, that are the Hedyot Kofetz Barosh, and it is the wisest people that want to hear what other people have to say. And even though many of the other people are much smaller than them in terms of chachma, in terms of minyan, in terms of anything, nevertheless, they want to hear what other people have to say. And this is a very, very valuable midah to have. And it's a midah that really helps with a person's own self-improvement. To become better is to be mevatel das to other people, to hear the opinions of other people. And sometimes, even if you held something differently going in, but to ultimately be wide open to hear other perspectives. And that really causes a person to become more beloved to other people. If a person feels, people want to feel like they're being listened to. So if a person feels that you are an address, that when they express themselves to you, you're not just, when you're listening to them, you're not just biding your time till you get to talk, but you're actually actively listening. You're actually hearing what they say. They say that therapists, that's ultimately their entire job, but a major part of their job, is they just give a person the feeling that they're being listened to. Right? What does the therapist do? The person says something, and then they just repeat it in different words. And, that's the whole trick, right? That's they say, I feel so misunderstood. Oh, so you feel that people don't understand you. That's right. That's exactly what I feel. I feel that people don't understand me. Sometimes it's so frustrating. Oh, I must be, you feel frustrated sometimes. Yes, that's it, that's what works, because people just feel I forget there's a word for it clinically, echoing, I think it's called, which makes sense, right? You just echo whatever they say to you, you say right back to them, and then they just feel like that they're, or mirroring, echoing, I don't remember. But they just feel like that they're actually being heard, they're actually being listened to. And that's that has great value. It means, so of course you're going to be more beloved if you're a person who actually is. People can tell if when you're talking to them, or when they're talking to you, rather, they can tell if you're, in your mind, you've already checked out and you're somewhere else. And you're just waiting for them to finish so that you could have your turn. Or if you're actually actually listening to what they have to say. So someone who's a person who's a listener, someone who actually cares what other people have to say, so much so that even their own opinion sometimes, or oftentimes, they'll step aside in favor of someone else's opinion, because they recognize that other people have different perspectives, and sometimes other people are smarter than them. And even if they're not smarter than them, sometimes they have smarter ideas than them. You know, a lot of times, just having a lot of different people in a room, you'll be able that are sharing opinions, you'll be able to see that there's nothing that can substitute for many minds, many different people, each thinking. Meaning there's only so much a single person can think of. And no matter how smart they are, there are only so many perspectives that they could possibly think of. And sometimes someone who's on a much lower level, you know, Harbi Lamati Mirabosai, Mechaveri Yosem Mehem, Mitalmida Yosem Mikulam, because typically a person has more Talmidim than he has Rebbeim. So if you're in front of a group of 30 people, the ideas that will come from 30 people will always be more than, no matter how smart the Rebbe is, more than the Rebbe will be able to think of on his own. That's what Rav Belsky Zichron of Rach used to say in Yanei Kashrus, that he found that the OU's Kashrus division was so much stronger than so many of the Kashrus organizations that were not really organizations, but were like one-man shops that were run by great, great Talmidei Chachamim and very, very Erlucha people and very honest people. But there's just only so many perspectives one person is going to be able to have. And Rav Belsky Zichron of Rach, who was a genius, he was a genius among geniuses. He was a He said that the fact that every time he said anything, there were 100 rabbis at the OU that absorbed it, asked questions on it, challenged it, thought of different etzas. It makes the organization run better, and that works within so many areas of life. That to actually include other deos other than your own makes you a much smarter person, and certainly when you're willing to bend to other people. Kishu osa ratzon kiritzon ish v'ish. That kishu osa kiritzon ish v'ish. When you are willing to accommodate other people's opinions, v'ish hazeh korov ma'od l'darkei atshuva. And a person who's flexible, a person who's willing to listen, is much more likely to be successful at doing tshuva. We're not that far away from the time of the year where tshuva becomes a major point of emphasis. So a person is going to be much more capable of doing tshuva. Ki kishu oches b'maisa hara u'bachaver l'achicho. Because let's say you're doing something wrong. No matter who we are, there are things in our lives that maybe aren't perfect, that we do things that are wrong. And if someone comes and is mochiach you, if someone says, you know, it's not really so right what you're doing, the natural reaction many people have is to immediately get defensive or counterattack, right? You know, what I'm doing is wrong, why are you saying that? Or to counterattack, who do you think you are that you think you're so perfect? It's not about, they weren't talking about what they do, they were talking about what you were doing. And if a person is receptive and a person is willing to hear criticism, he's going to be much more likely to do tshuva. Now, kamuvan, if you're being mochiach somebody else, you have to be wise about it, and you have to try to be mochiach at a time in a way that it would be heard, and at a time that the person is ready to hear. And sometimes, when you hear something that you know you're not happy about, and that you know that you're reacting to, you know, strongly, it's worthwhile to give yourself time to really absorb it. You know, I can't tell you how many times this happens when I've said something and someone calls me up and says, how could you say that? It wasn't really right. It didn't, you know, made people feel this way or that way. It made people feel uneasy or whatever the issue might be. And in the moment, you know, my initial reaction is to defend myself. But it had to be said. But people are doing something wrong. But it's it wasn't me. I was just repeating what my Rebbeim said. I was, you know, whatever my excuse is. And then, like a day or two later, or a week later, like it's moved me. Meaning, I've moved my position, because sometimes a person just needs time to absorb it. But if you immediately shut out whatever is coming from outside of yourself, you immediately shut out whatever someone tells you that's against your initial idea or your initial inclination, then you're never going to be able to change. A person's able to change when they receive it, and even if it makes you defensive at first, give yourself time, and continue to think about it, and think about the criticisms that people levy against you, and think about if there's validity to them. And it doesn't matter if the person who's saying it is a tzaddik or rasha or anywhere in between. Sometimes there's validity to what people are saying. And sometimes, you know what, even if it's not right, the key is not who's right. The key is what's ultimately going to accomplish the greatest good for Avodas Hashem. And sometimes being mevater on something, even if you're right, is that, you know, I always tell Chassanim that, that we're, by the time we're done with Orchot Tzaddik, and you guys won't have to take Chassan classes, the stuff that Hilchos is Nida, I guess, but I always tell Chassanim that as guys who are trained in the finest yeshivas in the world, when you get into an argument, you get into a disagreement with your right, you'll be able to bring all these starker rayas that you're correct, and you'll prove logically why your argument is like 1,000% correct. You'll have 5 rayas, shein aleihem tshuva, that you are 100% correct. And your wife won't be able to answer. She wasn't trained in the same yeshivas. She was trained to have midos. And she won't be able to answer necessarily all of your titles. And you will have won the argument, and then she will be sad, which means you just lost really badly. Sometimes it's not worth being right, because what's the cost of being right? I mean, what does that do to a relationship when you're right? And it's not just about marriage, friendships also. You know, you could prove that you're right, but why? Then why? You know, how important is it? How important is the argument? So sometimes to be flexible and to recognize that you can be wrong, and that there is another point of view and there is another perspective, and sometimes even if you're right, to be mevater. Nimtza sheyesh lo nachas ruach ba'atzmo k'shumod avoziv drachav harayim. You feel like a bigger person if you're able to change. You know, a person, that's the Rav Yisrael Salanter, I think, said that it's easier to learn all of Shas than to change one midah ra'ah. Person feels like you feel like you've really accomplished something if you notice change in yourself. And the best way to affect change in yourself is to take that first step of actually listening to what other people say. And it creates better relationships with all the people that you're with, because they'll feel like you're listening to what they say, and that you want to mimic their greatest qualities. You want to learn from their greatest qualities, and you can become a collection of the greatest qualities of all of the people around you. So that's going to cause a person to become better, a person who's actually willing to change. In another definition of chacham, which is not really another definition, it's similar to halomin mikaladam, is that shomea le'etza, someone who listens to etza, is a chacham. What does shomea mean? What does shomea mean in Hebrew? Well, listen or hear, right? So shomea, in this context, says the Orchestra, doesn't mean hear. It means listen, but even more than listen. You know, listen just means to actively pay attention. Shomea, I think Rav Aaron Lapiansky Shlita, he has a beautiful essay where he explains that Shomea, most of the time in Tanakh and even in Chazal, means, and again this is a Yiddish word that doesn't have a great translation into English, is to derher. Have you heard the word? So derher means that you not only, I'm giving a Yiddish lesson as if I speak it, that's the one word of Yiddish I know. Ya, nein, derher. Okay, so to Einstein, right? So to derher means to not just listen, not just hear, not just listen, but to internalize that which you're hearing and that which you're listening to. To really allow that which you're hearing to affect you. Because there's no real great English translation for that. There's no English word that really captures that. But that's what's lost in translation sometimes. Right? You have what? Internalize, but it's like you internalize a lot of things. You're internalizing that which someone else is that which is coming from a different source and is sort of pointed at you. You know, the pasuk says Vayishma Yisra, right? So the Chazal asks, Rashi quotes it on Chumash, Mashmua Shama Uba. How many times can you say the word Shema? Vayishma Yisra Mashmua Shama Uba. What Shmua was he Shomea that caused him to join Klal Yisrael? Meaning, what secret did Yisro have that no one else in that whole generation had? That he's the one that decided to join us. So what does Rashi answer? Anyone know? What did Yisro hear about? Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchanas Amalek. So what did the Midrashim say about Kriyas Yamsuf? That at Kriyas Yamsuf, all the waters in the entire world split. That was Kriyas Yamsuf. That Shamu Amim Yergazim, the whole world heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisro was not allowed in on some federal secret, you know, when he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Everybody heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Yeah, everybody heard about Kriyas Yamsuf. Mashmur Shamu Ba doesn't mean what did he hear. It means, what did he derher? What did he allow to affect him that other people didn't allow to affect him? And that's Yisrael. That was his kolach. Ela shomea perusho shu shomea la'atzas chacham umisratza lasos kashayagado chacham. To listen to the advice of the chacham and actually then do as the chacham tells you. Nimsa shekol haTorah klula b'midas haratzon. The entirety of Torah is somehow incorporated in the midas haratzon, in this midah of being flexible, of being amenable to suggestions of other people. V'chein kol ha-tochachos v'kol ha-brachos. And all the tochachos that we have in the Torah, and all the brachos that are given to us. Ketzad, v'shas matan Torah, kasuv v'ata im shamoa tishmu'u b'koli, v'shmartam espisiv yisum nisugum v'kol ha-amin. And matan Torah, what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu ask from us? I just want you to be shomeya. Not, you know, I'll give you a list and just here's the list of mitzvos. I'll give you a list of tiring mitzvos and I'll go do them. I want you to be shomeya. I want you to allow a mitzvah to affect you. Allow the messages of the Torah to affect you. And then you'll be li segula mikol ha'amim. Then you'll be the Am HaNivchar. Then you'll be the nation that clearly stands out among all the other nations. Pirush shel shamoa tishmu tikablu aleichem v'tisratzu. That's the midah of ratzon. They meshivu, and how do they respond? Nasa v'nishma. Yeah, we're going to do all the mitzvos, but more than that, more than doing all the mitzvos, v'nishma, v'nisratzu. Nishma means v'nisratzu, that we're going to allow those mitzvos to affect us. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that b'shoah shehikdimu nas l'nishma, the Malachi Asharis came and were kosher crowns on two crowns on each member of Klal Yisrael, one keneged Nasa and one keneged Nishma, and it's a little bit strange. B'shoah shekdimu Nasa l'Nishma. It doesn't say B'shoah she'amru Nasa l'Nishma. B'shoah shekdimu Nasa l'Nishma. So if it's a kdimu, then why is it two crowns, right? Meaning if it's a kdimu, then it should be only one crown. There's only one kedima. Meaning, if it's about saying the words Nasa v'Nishma, so there are two words, I get the two crowns. But it's Hikdimu. Hikdimu, there's only one Kedima. So I think Rav Asher Weiss explained that there were two great, great things that we did at that time. One that's more celebrated than the other. The fact that we were willing to say Nasa before we were Nishma, before we even knew what it entailed. That's one we always talk about, right? That Klal Yisrael didn't ask, Maksiv ba, what does it say in the Torah? Oh, I can't do that. I'm not able to do Lo Sirtzach or Lo Sinach or whatever the other Umos Ha'olam said. Rav Matzio Solomon once told the DRS boys on the trip that we took to Lakewood, DRS used to take such trips, and Rav Matzio said, what would, let's say Klal Yisrael did ask, you know, Maksiv ba, what would, like, Hashem must have had an answer for us. At the ready, you know, that we would have said, oh, we can't do that. Our greatness was we never asked the question. But if we asked the question, what would Hashem have said? So Matzio said that he's pretty confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have said, Lashon Hara. And we would have said, no way, we can't do that. Elamai, but you can, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that mitzvah, right? But number one, the first element is that we were willing to commit before we even knew what we were committing to. But there's something else that's also great about it. There's a second crown. And that is that we were willing to be Nishma after we were already Nasa. That sometimes, you know, a person gets into a routine. This is what I do. This is my routine. I develop my routine based on however I learned how to behave at whatever formative time in my life. But that a person is always willing to continue to be Nishma. To continue to change, to continue to hear that maybe the way he's doing things can be refined and could be made better, that's another crown. So it's not only that Nasa came before Nishma, it's that we're willing to have Nishma even after a sense of Nasa. Okay, we're out of time, but tomorrow we'll pick up the Inyan HaKlalos.